Hey, Levi and Jenny Lusco, we want to thank you so much for watching this message from God's Word. It's been just such an honor these 16 years at Fresh Life to get to preach God's Word and see so many people from around the country and in the world believe in the vision of what God's doing at Fresh Life from right here in Montana and the way it's going around the world. And we welcome that support, that partnership. And especially as we come to the end of the year and so many of us in the church are asking, what part can we play in the expansion of the vision? And we would love for you, you watch this teaching, you listen to these messages, you're encouraged by it, for you to take part in that. And whatever that could look like for you, whether that's a gift of $50 or $500 or $100,000, however you can say, hey, what God's doing, I believe in it. I want to see more people reached. And you can do that anytime between now and the end of the year at freshlife.church. You'll click give, and then the firebrand from the drop-down option. And for every gift that we're receiving, we're going to send just as a reminder of what we've learned and what we're a part of. It's beautiful, firebranded
keychain.
Fresh Life Church keychain, just as a reminder of what we're a part of and what an honor it is to be marked by God's love and carry that message into the world. Well, thank you for praying about the part that God would have you to play in the expansion of his kingdom, specifically through Fresh Life Church. And now we do pray that you would be blessed and be encouraged by this message from God's Word.
Yes, we love you.
I have a little announcement to make as well. In the new year, we are going to be starting as a church reading through the New Testament in a year. And I'm really excited about that. And we have this incredibly beautiful, stunning resource that our amazing creative team made. So we should give it up for our creative team, who just creates amazing things. But we're going through the New Testament. And what's so cool about this is that I believe it's a chapter a day. And so that's, and it's, I think it's just Monday through Friday. So we have the weekends off and we get to read one chapter a day. And I just believe that as we fight to let God's word marinate in our hearts and our lives and our souls, that God can do so much with that as we just let his word set the pace for our life. And together as a church, I love the thought of us just being on the same page, of us letting God speak to us, letting the Holy Spirit move in us together as we read together. So make sure you grab it. We'll have them, I think, at every campus, every location starting next week. We have some at some locations this week. I'm sorry, it's very confusing, but you could also buy it online as well. We will have a free digital version. So, but this one is amazing because you could just write in it and notes and things God's speaking to you. So let's do that together. Who's excited for that? That's going to be so great. It's going to be great. And I think you go to freshlife.church/store. I knew that. I was testing you. But I'm going to continue into this Firebrand series, but it's going to be Firebrand X Christmas. So it's kind of like a remix with some Christmas beats. thank you. And I'm excited to jump into the word with you today. Are you guys here for it? You guys ready? Okay, let's do it. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3 today. And I'm kind of splitting up this message into two parts. So the first part, the title of it, is Be the Brand, dot, dot, dot. Don't forget those dot, dot, dots. Be the Brand, dot, dot, dot. And we're going to start in Daniel chapter 3. And I'm not very great with overview of like just trying to sum things up because then I end up going longer than if I would have just read it, but I'm just going to try my best. In Daniel chapter 3, we find not Daniel, but we find his friends, and their names are Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And that's their Hebrew names, but we know them as by their slave names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And we see here in Daniel chapter 3 that this king, King Nebuchadnezzar, has it in him to set up this huge statue, 90 feet tall. And he wants people to bow down and worship it. And we don't know if it was a statue of him or just a huge thing that he built up. And it literally, I think it's like 10 times it says, King Nebuchadnezzar set it up, set it up, set it up. Like he wanted people to know that he made this big, huge thing. And in the grandiosity of it, he wanted everyone to bow down and worship. So there was going to be this music playing. And whenever anyone heard the music playing, everyone had to stop what they were doing and immediately bow down and worship the statue. And here we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they love God. And they're Hebrews. And they're not going to do such a thing. They're not going to follow what this culture, this king is telling them to do. But the thing is that King Nebuchadnezzar says, I've set this thing up and you're going to worship it. And if you don't, then there is a burning, fiery furnace. And you will go in that burning, fiery furnace and you will die. So they have set before them either live, but bow down and worship this idol, or die by going into a burning fiery furnace. So that was literally everyone's choice at this moment in time. And these three, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, stand up and they say no. So we come to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Which, by the way, that little phrase, burning fiery furnace, also shows up like 9 times. So it's very clear, like, this is your punishment if you do not bow down. But they say, but if not, so God will deliver us. But if not, so like they're so certain God will deliver us, but if not, so it kind of doesn't make sense, but it also does because they know that God could deliver them from this, like physically deliver them from this fire. But if he doesn't, they're still not going to bow down. So whatever may come, comes. They say, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And I didn't put these verses in the support, but then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression changed on his face. He was already like an angry guy and very like just triggered, easily set off, easily offended. But this is a moment where it was like the rage took over. It's like those of you parents or those of you who like Dude Perfect and like the rage monster guy comes out and just like starts hitting the TVs and running over things and like breaking everything. Like this is King Nebuchadnezzar, AKA Rage Monster. And he's so mad that he commands his servants to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. Now, it's already a burning, fiery furnace, but he says, heat it up 7 times hotter. And so that's hot. And so it's hotter than hot. And picking up in verse 21, it says, then these men, these three men, were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. Gosh, they had so many layers. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who threw them in the fire. So it was so hot that as these servants of the king were pushing them into the fire, they themselves burned to death. That's hot. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, true, O king. And then he said, look, he answered, verse 25, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. That is not normal. That is crazy. But, and he says, and, so all that, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Lord God, open our eyes. Help us to see. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. We are desperate for you, and we are desperate for you to speak to us and to give us the things that we need for your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This really happened. And I think sometimes, I know for me, I don't know for you if you've grown up in church and you've learned the story, Shadrach, Rakshak, and Benny, and you know, like this is what happened. But this really happened. This is true. This is real life. And this is crazy. And I was just, as I was reading it and kind of just asking God to speak to me and just simmering in it, I had so many questions. Because first of all, here's Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. They're being called different names because they're in a different culture. They're slaves in this country. And here they are being told to do something that they know is wrong and that they aren't going to do. And they stand up and they say no, knowing full well that saying no means that they were going to die. And yes, they said, God will deliver us. But that could mean God will deliver us physically from this, or God will deliver us and we'll be with him because we'll be dead. But they were facing death. And here they are, these servant guys bind them with rope, I'm guessing. And then these guys are cast into the fire. And I just was thinking, like, what was going on in their minds? Like, first of all, there was a time I was with Levi's family, and we were by this fire, and we had all the kids were around, all the cousins, all the aunts and uncles, and we were just talking and laughing and drinking hot cocoa and hanging out. But all of a sudden, like, a gust of wind just blew towards, like, where some of the little kids were. And it was so frightening because it was like, oh my gosh, literally, I think you almost got burned and singed. But like, that was nothing compared to this seven times hot burning fiery furnace. But the fear that would have been in their hearts, okay, this is it. We're literally walking to our death. You're going in, and then the guys who are pushing you in are dying, and you're in the fire. This is not casual. And I think sometimes we look at Bible stories as like, oh yeah, Jonah and the whale, or the big fish, David and Goliath, like, yeah, this is a nice story, but this really happened. And just putting ourselves in their shoes and like considering, what did this feel like? What was this like? All of a sudden they're just in this furnace. And we see here, the king looks in and says, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They were bound beforehand. And so the only thing that burnt up was the cords around their wrists, around their feet, burned away, and they're walking around in the fire. And who's with them? Jesus. This is a Christophany, is what it's called, when Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. But can you imagine just being inside a burning fiery furnace, walking around, you're just talking with Jesus. Like, what the heck are they talking about? What is going on? And it just seems so like laid back. And then and then we see the guys, the king's like, hey guys, servants of the Most High God, which the king who doesn't believe in God is declaring servants of the Most High God, come out of here, come out. And it just, the way it says it, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just came out of the midst of the fire. Like, no big deal. This is normal. But it wasn't casual. This is crazy, and this is not normal. And it's so important when we read the Bible to put ourselves in their shoes to see, like, okay, how did this feel? What was the culture like? What was going on? How did this affect them? What was it like just walking out of a fire? And here's where it's crazy. I mean, it's all crazy. Here's where it's also crazy. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments even affected, and the smell of fire wasn't even on them. I was talking to someone earlier, and she was like, yeah, I hate how my hair smells when I'm just even around a campfire. Like, they were in the fire, but they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like a campfire. And here's the thing. These guys were literal firebrands. We're talking about what a firebrand is. What is a firebrand? It's a passionate person. Courageous, excited, ready, on your toes, ready to preach the gospel. These guys were literal firebrands put into the fire. Now, what's so amazing about a firebrand is you put it in the fire, but it's not destroyed. You put it in the fire, but it's not melted. And so it's getting heat up. It's getting ready for the work that it was, that it's meant to do, that it's purposed to do. And it reminds me of this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. It's possible to be in the fire, to be in the heartache, to be in the pain, and to not be crushed by it. And I love so much that my husband so faithfully preaches all the time that what we go through doesn't have to define us. But he says it better. He says, what you go through doesn't have to define you. It rhymes. He does it better. But what we go through doesn't have to define us. We don't have to smell like what we go through. And honestly, and I'm going to say this, Levi and I got to visit a prison and minister to people, but I felt ministered to myself. There are people in there who love Jesus. And talking with them and hearing their stories, they'd gone through some stuff. But I didn't get the smell of what they had gone through. I got the aroma of Christ. And if we could be in that place where we're going through the fire, and I'm telling you, it's hard. It's hard to be in the fire. It hurts to be in the struggle. But just like my husband said, the goldsmith, when he puts gold in the fire, he's not mad at the gold. He wants to purify the gold. And so just know today, church, wherever you're at, whatever fire you feel like you're in, you're struggling through, just remember that our goldsmith father is not mad at you. He wants to purify you. So surrender. Surrender to the process. What can we learn from these literal, actual firebrands who went into the fire and came right back out? Well, A, they served God who was able to deliver them. They served God, who was able to deliver them. Lord, let it be that we would be known as God's servants, that we would say that we are the servants of the Most High God, surrendered to Him, doing what He calls us to do. Let it be, Lord. They spoke out. They didn't just like not do it. They said, "Oh, King, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We have made the decision. We are not bowing down to this God because we serve the Most High God." They spoke out. We can learn from them in that. They spoke out. They were bold. See, they were submitted to His will. Is that even a word, submitted? I think so. It is now. Well, they submit to His will, or they submitted to His will. If I'm wrong, I'll hear about it later. But they submit to His will, to God's will. And in the face of death, they submit. Whatever happens to me, God, I'm going to follow You and I'm going to worship You and You alone. D, they saw Him do what only He can do. They saw Him do what only He could do. Only God could let people walk around in a fire, and then Jesus shows up in there with them. And this was powerful to me because it was hotter in there than normal. And I was thinking, man, I've experienced in my life, the hotter it gets, the nearer Jesus is to me. And you know, it's so interesting because Jesus didn't have to show up. And I don't think Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, I don't think they thought Jesus was going to show up. I don't even know what they were thinking. They just knew that they were only going to worship God. But I was just imagining, why would Jesus show up in there with them? Why would He come? And I don't know the answer except that they had faith. And I know that God is drawn to faith. God is drawn to humility. God is drawn to when we say yes to God and no to something else. When we say, "Lord, let Your will be done and not mine. Lord, You lead me and not myself." And I just love that tenderness of them getting to see. And maybe they didn't even see. All we know that the Bible says is that the king saw the fourth man. I'm guessing that the three guys saw Him too, but they were in there, Jesus with them. And I just want to encourage you today, like if you're hurting, if you're struggling, if you're in it, just remember that God is near to the brokenhearted. He's with you. And isn't that what we're celebrating at Christmas? O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. How comforting is that? We're not alone. We don't have to carry the burden. God is with us, and He gives us the strength that we need to keep walking. And that's another thing that's so beautiful about this, is that they were loose walking. Just leisurely walking in the midst of the fire with Jesus. And this is key. Fresh Life, this is key. To what you're going through, to just keep walking. Just keep walking. And don't just keep walking. Just keep walking with Jesus. Just keep walking with Jesus. And when you feel like you don't even have the strength to pick up your foot and to take the next step, Jesus is with you. And He will lead you and He will help you, but just keep clinging to Jesus. That is the only way we can walk through the fire and not be burnt and not have the smell of smoke on us. Keep walking with Jesus. He's with you in the fire. How comforting is this? All right, part two. This one starts with a dot, dot, dot. Ready? Dot, dot, dot. Because
Jesus is coming soon. So the first part, be the brand, dot, 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 because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, church. Now, my father-in-law, Chip Lesko, is one of my favorite people. He's a good, godly man and raised my husband, who is a good, godly man, and I'm so grateful for him. And I just want to share a little bit. So in his life, in Chip's life, his salvation story is wild. He was a hippie just trying to save the whales and do good for the earth, but then he met Jesus, and it was radical. He was in Hawaii, and he came to this little church, and the way he says it, there was a different church across the street and then this one, and he was like, he just walked in, and it was this big revival night, and the preacher preached his heart out, and the preacher's wife played the piano and played worship, and Chip was the only one there. Literally, he's sitting in the back row, feet up on the chairs in front of him. He was the only one that showed up, but this pastor preached like it was a full room. And at the end of his message, he said, does anyone want to give their life to Jesus? And Chip looked around and he was like, well, I actually do. And he walked forward, gave his life to Christ, not ever looking back, and has literally, he's living a legacy for us to follow. And all that to say, so basically, when Levi and I got married, Chip was like, hey, if you let me pick where you go on your honeymoon, I'll pay for it all. So in our minds, we were like, okay, we'll just go like to Taos, or we were in Albuquerque at the time. Oh, we'll just go to Denver or whatever. Like, that's fine. It doesn't matter. And but he was like, I want you guys to go to Hawaii. But the one thing that I want you to do is I want you to go visit the church that I gave my life to Christ at. And so we have a picture, Levi and I, on our honeymoon, babies, in front of this church with a sign that says, Jesus coming soon. And we have, Levi probably doesn't want me to keep that up too much longer, although he looks really good. But next one. So this is actually 2013, after Lenny went to heaven. And it's our three beauties. And we went back and we took a picture in front of it. The next one is, now Lennox is in the picture in this one. And then the next one is special because it's with Chip. And he's holding Lennox. And that sign on the church still says, Jesus coming soon. And all of our hearts go to those of you on Maui who are rebuilding and from the fire. And someone reminded me in the last service that this church did not burn down. Literally, things were burning, buildings burning all around it, and this one did not burn. It's still up. Praise God. And that's just cool. I mean, it didn't burn. But Jesus coming soon. But this building has been there for, I don't know, 60 years, longer. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly, or I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That was a long time ago. But the beautiful thing about Christmas is that it shows us that Jesus came, but it points to him coming again. And in between, he's with us and we can invite him into our hearts. We can invite him to be Lord of our lives. We can invite him to be the center of our marriage, of our relationships, to be the Lord of our church, the center. So when we say, O come, Emmanuel, that was actually Israel in the Old Testament saying, Jesus, you're our Savior, come. 400 years later, Jesus came. That's not soon. And now we're in the waiting. And waiting is hard. Whether you're waiting for like something awesome and like presents or things that are exciting, that's hard to wait. You're waiting for, you're in the middle of waiting, hard things, that's really hard also. Waiting is hard. But we have hope. Jesus is our hope. So, how do we live as firebrands? Well, it's very similar to be the brand and what we were learning from Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, which is, I love how Daniel is a very prophetic, prophetic book pointing to Jesus coming again. But A, we serve God who is able to deliver us. We serve God who is able to deliver us. B, we speak out. We be bold. We be courageous. C, we submit to his will. Submit to his will for your life, whether it feels comfortable or not. Follow him. D, and you will see him do what only he can do. You will see him change you from the inside out. You will see him soften your heart and that come out in your words and how you speak to people. You will see him change your perspective of people through a view and lens of grace and not of judgment. You will see God use you. You will see God minister to people through you. And that's actually one of the most strengthening things, going through hard stuff, being in a trial. My husband's shared it before, but going through hard things and you continue just to speak life and you continue to just be a vessel and let God flow through you, that is going through you. So you're getting some of that too. When you're speaking blessing over someone, when you're encouraging someone and God's using you to do that, you get some of that too. We need that. I want to end here with letter E. Share with everyone. So when we're firebrands, we share with everyone. And I just wanted to give you a little example of this. In October, it was October 14th, and we were driving from Austin to Fort Worth, I believe, and apparently it was the solar eclipse, but I didn't know this. So the whole time, Levi's like tearing paper and like being like a mad scientist as I'm driving, and I'm like, well, I don't even know what he's doing. And he's like, hey, I think we need to stop and go off into this city and we need to get this thing. And I had no idea. So I thought he wasn't feeling good or something was wrong. So we pulled off. He goes into this old library, comes out so happy, so excited with these glasses to put on so that you can look at the sun without burning your retinas so you could see the solar eclipse. And he's like, you guys, we got to look. And so he has pictures of us like just looking up and like, wow, this is amazing. But this was the part that was just, it's funny, but it's also stunning. It's our pastor being excited and telling everyone he can. So I'm going to show you this little video of him like just talking to like perfect strangers. It's just so funny.
You guys want to see it?
Yeah.
Epic. Pretty cool. Oh, yeah. Blow your mind. He'll look. You see it? Look at the sun with those on. Right?
Second.
Almost done. That's cool. Wow, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Crazy?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Our friend Pastor Stephen Furtick always jokes how my husband's line is, check this out. Like, he's always just, and if he's excited about it, everyone around him is going to know about it. And I love that about him. But he's telling everyone something that he is excited about. He's looking up and he's seeing this amazing thing in the sky. And he's like, you guys, come on. You got to see this. And that's our life. That's what our life should look like, where we are so drawn into the kindness and the goodness of God. And we see who he is. And we have experienced his forgiveness. We've experienced his grace. We have been loved so perfectly by our perfect Father. That the only response that we have is to say to others, you gotta see this. Come on, just come and see. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's that other Christmas song. It's, oh, come, let us adore him. It's a call to worship. It's a call to see. It's a call to Jesus. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. So, Lord, let it be. Let it be, Lord. You have given us such a great salvation. You are good and you are kind. I just pray right now, Lord, your healing touch over hurting hearts this season. The person who's not there, the marriage that's unraveling, the loss, the way we thought things were going to go. Thank you, God, that you are a good goldsmith. And you're purifying us in the fire. And Lord, I pray over every heart in our church. Lord, that you would help them to see that this trial, this fire, this struggle, this pain is purifying. Lord, would you surround them with your love? Would you overwhelm them with your peace that passes understanding? That in the years to come, in the months to come, they would look back and see, how did I go through that? But knowing that you were there the whole time, and they just kept clinging to you, they just kept walking with you, they just kept surrendering to you. And I pray that over every hurting heart. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. And I also just want to give a moment. We always want to give a moment to say, hey, come and see. Come and see. And if you're here today and you've seen and you're just like, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to say yes. I want to surrender. I want my life to make a mark, one that counts for all eternity. I want to be a servant of the Most High God. I want to walk lovingly with my Savior. If that's you, I'm going to pray with you. And it's basically just saying, yes, God. And honestly, you could just say, yes, Jesus, yes, I need you. I've tried on my own to make things right, but I can't. I look to you. Lord, come into my life. Change me from the inside out. I need you. Use me for your glory. Let me be your brand in this world, making the mark that you purposed for me, that you intended for me.